Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again, with the show You Got This, it's the show of DIY and don'ts. And I'm here with Rosalie Brown, who is now in L.A., as opposed to Dana Point, so she's actually moved into a city, and I'm up here in Grass Valley in the country, looking out on my acreage.
Yeah,
it's all nice and green.
You're starting to sound like a country hick, actually.
Yeah. I'm playing it.
I know you
but
really
nice.
Are.
I love this time of year when things are starting to bloom. Things are, the garden's coming together. And been working outside. And out hiking and biking and just enjoying this amazing weather we've had over the last week.
Is that why your allergies are funky?
I think that's why my allergies are funky. And it looks like we get to look forward to a cold snap for Easter, which is a little bit of a bummer. But hey, I know it happens to be my birthday on Easter.
So. I know it does. I was thinking about that. I was like, what little Easter bunny do I know April 4th? Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, Andrew.
Every once in a while it pops up like, oh, it's actually on my birthday this year. I think it's only happened like once or twice in my life. So,
I have my
it's not a fun one.
So I know. So my oldest is in April, and she's had I think a couple times where she was originally supposed to arrive right around the typical Easter time, and she's later in the month. But she's had Easter a couple times on her birthday, and she always gets a little bit like she doesn't want to share her birthday with some other holiday. So. Whatever. I'm at the age where I'm like, I don't even know how old I am. I was actually laying in bed going to sleep last night, and I'm not even kidding. I was thinking about my daughter's birthday coming up. I'm thinking, I gotta, look into gifts and start thinking about shipping and all that. And literally I went, wait, what? How old is she? And I was trying to do the math in my head, and I couldn't do it. And I almost texted my other daughter to say, "How old is your sister?" But I woke up this morning and had some coffee and went, "Okay, this isn't that hard. You got this. You can do it." But I had a moment.
You need reference points. Like I know, like my mom's 20 years older than me, or my dad was 25 years older than me, right? And my kids are little. They're not a round number, so it's a little harder to remember. But I can remember with our anniversary for our son, so those things, right?
Yeah. I did a little funny math where I was like, okay, so next year will be 30. Okay, so she's gonna be 29 in a couple weeks. Okay, so I mean, it really I had to be like, okay, there's a 2 in there. I don't know.
She's an adult, man.
She's been an adult for a long time. Yeah, she's
She's older than you when you had her.
Oh, yeah. I was 20. I was 20 when I had her. I think she was about 3 weeks old. I turned 21, but I was technically 20 years old. So now everyone knows how old I am. But sometimes I trip out and go, she's got it so much more together at her age than I did. I feel like, relatively speaking, I'm like,
you did a good job.
Yeah. She makes really good money, and she sets her own schedule, and she's living in a great place, and she's really kind of doing this cool thing where when we talk, you just see her kind of stepping into herself, having confidence about life. And I do think our kids' generations, because your kids are slightly younger. And then I've got
Theo's 24, so.
So they start to really kind of, I don't know. They're really starting to take life by the horns and really get it figured out. And it's kind of a trip to watch. It's like, man, that was me, but she's smarter. Holy smokes.
And you always hear the things about, this generation doesn't really have it together. And when I look around at my kids, your kids and their friends and stuff, I'm like, this generation has got it going on. They have got so much charisma, so much passion, so much power, and it's amazing. I feel really hopeful for this generation. They're an amazing group of people, really amazing group of people. I love millennials.
I mean, I just gotta stay on her good side, because I mean, she's gonna be the one that's gonna be put me up in my old age. So I'm not too worried about the young one yet, because she's 19, still figuring it out. But I really got to make sure that me and the older one are on good terms, because she's gonna be the one who signs the paperwork. So right.
Do not resuscitate.
Right. I really just gotta work on that, make sure that relationship stays good.
That paperwork together first. I mean, I got all that stuff together in the beginning, just so it's together.
Just so it's not up to my
I don't have to
child
rely on my children. Yeah.
To unplug. I tripped. I didn't mean to unplug it. I tripped. That's gonna be her defense. But when it's my time, it's my time. Yeah. But anyway, so that's some weird stuff.
So
there.
Yeah, so we went down that little rabbit hole, and then I'm just really enjoying this weather and getting out, and it's just gorgeous out. And work wise, we are busier than ever. I don't hate to say it. It's one of those weird things that our industry has not really been negatively affected by COVID. So I really, really. Happy about that, and really we're really blessed with that when it comes to being able to keep all our guys employed and with incomes. It hasn't been an issue, so really happy about that. And we're looking for people, so if you know anybody, send them our way. We're looking for plumbers, electricians, HVAC technicians. We're slammed, so
ready to take it to the next level. That's really cool.
And on that, we got some good questions. We actually kind of work together, and we didn't finish last week's show like we thought we might have time to talk about septic systems, but we're gonna give the whole show to septic systems, which is one of those things that I had to learn. I was talking about last show, I had to learn when I moved up here, coming from San Francisco and the Bay Area. We didn't have septic systems. I had no idea what a septic system was, and I'd been in the trades before I moved up here my whole life, so gosh, we moved up here, I was 29 or something like that. So it was interesting. I had to learn really, really quickly how to deal with it. And I know we got a lot of people moving up here right now, looking at the housing market. Things are churning really fast. I know, talking to real estate friends of mine, realtor friends of mine, they're just like, it's crazy out there right now. So there's a lot of people out there that may not know how to maintain their septic. So I'd like to kind of give a little crash course on the things of do's and don'ts on how to take care of a septic system, because they can be finicky and we don't know about them.
Well, the only thing I remember about septic, just a little frame of reference. So when I was a kid, we did a lot of, I'm sure we had a septic because I lived in the suburbs in Contra Costa County. But I'm sure we had a septic, but we would go camping. My dad was a big outdoor enthusiast. You would think it would have like rubbed off on me, but it totally didn't. But I'm like, I like the 5-star hotel, please. So I just remember being such a big deal about the septic in like the, because we had like Airstreams, not an actual traditional Airstream, but those kinds of, my dad would always have a travel trailer. And so he used to always talk about, the septic this, and we had to have like special paper, and we had to this. Right. And I just remember thinking like camping and going to the bathroom were the two worst, that's probably why I didn't want to go camping, because it was always this horrible toilet paper. It couldn't be normal. It had to be this weird, funky stuff because it, the biodegradable or something. And I just remember the septic system being the bane of my dad's existence when we went on vacation. So it just seemed very stressful to me. So I relate to camping.
It was probably stressful to him for some reason, but
yeah.
They're not, and RVs, tanks, I travel a lot in RV, and we just use regular Costco toilet paper. It works fine.
It's sandpaper, but whatever. Okay, so let's talk about the importance.
Let's not talk about toilet paper. But we're on that subject. We're going to go there.
Yeah. This is so much better. Okay. So I'm going to ask you, first let's set this up. Okay. So before I ask this question, so when you are talking about septic systems, are you saying like pretty much every home up in like Nevada County?
Not every home, because homes in Nevada City, homes in Cascade Shores, homes in Penn Valley and Lake Wildwood, homes in I think Lake Wildwood has one, or not Lake of the Pines. But anyway, there are areas in Nevada County that have sewer. What we have found, though, is probably 90% of the homes that are in Nevada County are on a private waste disposal system or a septic system. So the majority of homes up here have a septic system. I'm on the border of Grass Valley, and I'm on a septic system, and I have a well. Okay. And I literally, like, my neighbor is in Grass Valley, city limits, and they have sewer and water. But okay. I'm just on the other side of that border. So
that changes it. Okay.
Yeah, it's uncommon to have sewer hookup. Okay. It's more common to have water hookup than it is a sewer hookup.
Okay. So since I have a septic system, then, theoretically, how often should I have my septic tank pumped?
So that that's a big question, and a lot of people ask us that. So a septic system, basically the only thing a septic system does is it degrades the stuff we put down it. And the tank itself, all it's doing is slowing the water down so it removes any of the solids. They either float or they sink, and the effluent water goes out to the leach field. So we want to slow it down, and once it's slowed down in the tank, then the bioorganisms start to dissolve it, start to degrade it. Depending on how much use you have, it may not keep up with it. So what they suggest is every 3 to 5 years is you have somebody come out and check and see how deep the cake is, which means literally opening the lid and putting a shovel in it. And if the entire blade of the shovel goes through and still hits cake, you want to get it pumped. So that's, you know, kind of a redneck kind of way of figuring out if you need to have it pumped. But you want to check it every 3 to 5 years, because what happens is if that cake gets too deep, the solids work their way into the leach field to destroy your leach field. They clog your leach field. In which case, sometimes it can be remediated, but a lot of times it destroys it and you have to start all new. So it's kind of like, you know, we use the reference of oil change to avoid catastrophic failure of your engine. The same thing with pumping your tank. We're trying to avoid the catastrophic failure of your leach field. Once your leach field goes, you know, you, depending on where you live, it can be anywhere from a couple $1,000s to tens of thousands of dollars. We've got systems going in now that are 60 to 80 to 100 grand for a new septic system, because of the fact that they have poor percolation. The soil doesn't absorb the water, so they have to put this engineered system in, which is a major headache and really expensive and a lot more maintenance, a lot more. So every 3 to 5 years, have it at least checked out and potentially pumped.
Okay, so since you brought it up.
And also, I just want to reference this. Some people are like, well, it's so expensive. If you look at the cost, the monthly cost of using pipe-treated water with sewer, septic system's actually cheaper by a long shot. So it's just a big chunk when you have it pumped. I mean, it's, you know, you're not paying $10, $20, $30 a month every month. You're paying, I think it's like $700 or something like that now to get it pumped somewhere in that neighborhood. It's been a while since I've looked at the numbers. $700, $800.
Okay.
In the scheme of things, it's cheaper than paying that monthly fee. So
sure. Okay, so since you brought it up, how does someone maintain their leach field? Let's go to that question.
Okay. So a couple things. So there's a couple ways to help maintain your septic system, which then i.e. will help maintain your leach field. And one of the things is they highly recommend putting in some kind of bioorganism that helps dissolve or helps digest the organism or the waste that's in there. We sell a product that works really good, and it works its way through the drain, actually clears the drain, and then works its way into the septic and continues its process. So that's one thing. Like I treat mine all the time, because that's one of the last things I want to do is actually clear drain when I get home. The other thing is a leach field or a drain field is where the water percolates down in the soil. So you want to make sure, you know, your trees are far away from it. You don't want to put any landscaping on top of it. It will grow really well, and you may have a really green spot there, but if the roots get into the leach pipes, it can destroy the leach pipes. because it'll compact it and impact that pipe, and then i.e. destroying the drainage of it. The other thing you want to avoid is find out where your leach field is, and don't park a car on it because you're compacting the soil. And again, it's that percolation through the soil. If I'm compacting it, now all of a sudden the water doesn't pass through that soil as easily. So you want to keep vehicles off of it. So those are the main things, is landscaping and don't park a car on it, and put some kind of enzyme down to actually digest the organics.
How would I know where my leach, how is it laid out? How do I know where my leach field is when I'm walking around my yard?
Hopefully you found out when you bought the house. There are ways to find out where the lines are. It's a little expensive, because literally you have to have somebody come out, dig up the lids on the tank, or if you've got risers, they can look into it and run a locator down the leach field and locate where it is. But you're talking hundreds of dollars. More than likely, you already have it on a site plan or something like that if you bought the house.
Okay.
So go back, and hopefully you've got it in the docs when you buy a house.
Gotcha.
Not always, but hopefully you do.
Gotcha. Okay. So now you talked about putting something down the drain that helps to clear everything all the way, you know, down through your pipes all the way out to the system. So that brings up a question. I'm thinking about fixtures and things like that. So do water efficient plumbing fixtures help the septic?
Yes, hugely. Hugely. So once again, the way the septic system works is your tank slows the water down to either the solids, either float or sink, and then the effluent goes out into the leach field. The more water you put down the leach field, the more chance you have of it failing, because you're putting too much water down the system, and it doesn't have a chance for the water to percolate through the soil. So putting in high efficient toilets, putting in high efficient shower heads, putting in aerators that have a lower flow rate on the faucets, all those things will have a beneficial effect on your septic system. Not only that, but they're going to save you a little bit of money, because you're not either pumping more water out of your well and or getting more water through NID. So really beneficial. And most, you know, like I have to tell you, I've been in this industry for a long time. So long that I remember installing, you know, 5 gallon flush toilets, 3.5 gallon flush toilets. Their flush was not any better than the ones we've got today. Mm-hmm. They've engineered these things to work so much better. They can flush on 1.25 gallons of water now and get just as good of a flush as a 5 gallon toilet. So, you know, if you've got a low flow toilet that's not working great, it's probably one of the cheaper ones. You probably didn't spend any money on it. You know, if you buy $100 toilet, you're getting $100 product. You got to spend a couple $100 to get a well-engineered toilet that's actually going to flush. So should you put in high efficient fixtures? By all means. On the whole scheme of things, it's going to be beneficial. It's going to help your septic system. It's going to help with your water bill. And if you've got a high, low flow shower head, it's going to help with your energy use for the water heater. And or you can take a longer shower, because it's just basic math. Gallons
nice.
Per minute. If I've got 40 gallons of usable hot water in my water tank, and I've got a 5 gallon per minute or a 10 gallon per minute shower head, I've only got X amount, you know, a 10 gallon per minute, which is, they don't really make them. Actually, I've seen them, but you know, you got 4 minutes in that shower. If I go to a 2 gallon, now all of a sudden per minute shower head, now all of a sudden I 8 times, you know, I mean, it's huge. It's just basic math. So yeah, it's good.
Okay. So do we have time for me to ask one more question?
Yeah, we got 6 more minutes.
Oh boy, I was trying to get out of here. Okay, so because this is my least favorite topic, when you start talking about organics and solids, I just start to get a little squeamish. But okay, so what are some things I should avoid putting down the drain if I have a septic system?
So there's a lot of things you should avoid putting down your drain. So we talk about this all the time, like with disposers. Your disposer is not a waste disposing unit. It is there so you know, things that, as you're doing dishes, little bits of stuff can go down the drain easier. It's don't scrape your plate into the disposer. So you want to keep as much stuff out of your septic system as you can, as much solids. And that could be food, you know?
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to put anything that doesn't dissolve. So like handy wipes, like the facial wipes or wet wipes, do not put them down the drain. They will stay there forever. They're plastic. They are not going to dissolve. So they will impact your system. Put those in the garbage can. Any kind of, a lot of chlorinated products will kill the bacteria. You know, some people say don't even use chlorine in your wash. I think that's a little extreme because I like my whites white. So, you know, just be cognizant of the fact that you don't want to be putting a bunch down. Like I worked at one person's house where she told us that she went through a gallon of bleach a week for cleaning. And her septic system lasted a couple years before it had to be pumped because it just was devoid of life in there. So, you know, just use it with that knowledge. So be cognizant of it. Don't use too much. You definitely don't want to put any paints, thinners, any kind of chemicals down because, again, you've got these living organisms that are dissolving the organics in there and you could wipe them out. So, okay. You know, no herbicides, no pesticides, none of that kind of stuff. Don't use your drain as a waste disposal unit. It is strictly for organic material and water. And if you can limit the amount of water and limit the amount of organic, solid or inorganic material that's going down there, the longer you're going to be able to go between pumpings.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, you know, just be, you know, mindful of it. It's not, you don't want to put stuff down. And also, like, you know, I say that, and it's in my best interest for you guys to put everything down the drain because it means more money in our pocket because we're gonna have to come out and clear your drain. We're gonna have to get somebody to come out and pump your tank. We're gonna have to have re-engineer your system and put a new leach field in. I'd rather do it when it's cold and falling apart. You know, avoid it if you can.
Well, who wants to spend the money on that? You know, those are always the things that are the big, you know, how often are we not have a little budget set aside for things like that? Most people I think probably don't. There goes the vacation.
And speaking of budgeting, budget for your tank to be pumped at least every 5 years. Just put that in your budget. Put the money away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. $10 a month. Mm-hmm. You got it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, what else can you tell me about maintaining my system?
So maintaining the system. So the main thing is, do not put anything down your drain that it's going to impact the system. You also want to, the bioorganisms are just so much easier. So where do you get these things? You can buy them from us. You can also get like Ridex and things like that. They're not as good as some of the stuff that we get. The concentration isn't as high. So you kind of get what you pay for, but it's better than nothing. So you can get that at any hardware store. But I do recommend using a better product that actually does some drain cleaning at the same time and get your system pumped. Oh, the other thing too, that's really handy. If you don't have risers, which, that's kind of a trade term, but basically what those are a cylinder, fiberglass cylinder that goes down and gets mounted on top of your septic tank around the lids. And you got two of them. Mm-hmm. And then they have a little screw top, a little top that you can just take off with a couple of screws. So you got easy access to the septic system. That's a great installation. It's very beneficial for the homeowner because you can actually inspect those things yourself if you've got the strength to lift the concrete lid. And that's even something you can do yourself. It's one of those it's a higher level DIY, but you can go to Merrill & Sons and pick up the riser kit, dig down, find the lids, install them with the epoxy, cut them to length and put the lids on. It's something that, you know, it's a fairly expensive job for most contractors to do just because it's very labor intensive. But if it's something that you feel like doing yourself, if you're young and you feel you don't mind digging up a bunch of, you know, soil, you can do it. And with that, I think that pretty much exhausts what we kind of wanted to talk about. Bottom line is don't be afraid of it. It's something that you more than likely have if you live in Nevada County. Be aware of it. Don't put any inorganics down there. Don't put own paper towels. Don't put wipes. Don't put as little food down there as you possibly can. Just, you know, be nice to it. And you'll extend the life of it.
So what you're saying is be nice to it and we'll be nice to you.
It'll be nice to you. And with that, if you have any issues with your septic system, if you have any problems with your drainage system, if you have any problems with your wells, your water heaters, your electrical system, your heating
your
and air
stuff.
System.
Your staff,
give us a call. And if we don't take care of it, we got people we can recommend. You can call us at 530-272-9120, 530-272-9920. And you can also find us on the web at easyasabt.com, easyasabt, on Facebook, and sign up for our newsletter because we got a bunch of really cool stuff in there. And with that, thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.